this evening here in the little country church, maybe you might say. First time I've been here, so wasn't sure if I could find it for a minute, but I got here. So good to be here with you, and I trust we can maybe glean a few thoughts about this subject this evening in the walk of repentance. See what we can do here. About a week ago, and I'll just say this just for your own input in case you, I turn around to write on there, you might see something in the back of my head here that you might kind of wonder if I'm okay or not. I think I am. A week ago, I took a tumble and needed a few stitches there, but we'll see how it goes this evening. I think I'm feeling okay, and hopefully we can learn something about the walk of repentance. You can open your Bibles to, first of all, I'd like to look at Matthew chapter 9, verse 13. I'd like to begin with this verse so we can draw something out of this verse. I think it's something we need to realize, or else it's no use. Maybe we talk about a walk of repentance. Perhaps a subject like this, we could look at a few different things. I'm going to be kind of thinking about the word repent and repentance. Mostly maybe, and what are we talking about? A walk of repentance, what is that? Does the Bible talk about repentance? Well, sure it does. It talks quite a bit about repentance, and we'd like to look at that. In Matthew 9, verse 13, it says, Jesus here says, but go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And I guess what I am thinking of here, first of all, as we think about a walk of repentance, if we're going to be living our lives as such, or walking or living our lives in repentance, we first of all need to realize our need of that. And so in order for us to realize our need of that, we need to realize that we are sinners. It says here, but that's what Jesus came. He didn't come to call those who think they're righteous, but he came to call those who understand that they're sinners. And his call is that they would come to repentance. And so we see that it is important to Jesus, and that is the reason he came. And we'll see a little bit more of that, that I believe too, that is the focal point, the cross that will come through here eventually as we think about the walk of repentance. Without the cross, we probably couldn't walk a walk of repentance. As we think about being forgiven as a sinner, and as we think about a sinner, you know, all have come short of the glory of God. So all have been at that place. However, don't we, it seems like there's a number of people around us who maybe try to avoid that fact because maybe they don't want, what they really want to avoid is acknowledging Jesus and who he is and the need of him in their lives. And so in order to do that, why they might try to avoid the fact that they're a sinner. And so all of us here are sinners tonight. Either you're a sinner saved by the grace of God or you're a sinner still in your sins. And so we find ourselves in one of those two categories, you might say. So we continue to look into the Word of God time and time again. The walk of repentance, as we think about repentance, it's something that I don't think is maybe once and done. At least I have shortcomings and failures in my life, and so I need to come back to the cross of Christ, and I need to come back to Jesus, and I need to ask him for forgiveness again sometimes. And so the walk of repentance is a continuation of our life and how we live our lives as well. And sometimes if we yield to a temptation, we need to come back and to that clear walk of repentance with God, with Christ. One of the verses that they had given to me to go with this title was in Colossians 2:6. And so I'm going to look at that verse at the beginning here next. Colossians 2:6. Colossians I think this verse does go with the title very well. It kind of gives us here, as we think about the walk of repentance, Colossians 2 and verse 6 says, "As ye have, therefore, received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him." And so it's probably where partly they got the title of the walk of repentance, talking about walking in Christ. And in order to receive Christ, we probably need to come to the realization that we're a sinner in need of him, and we need to repent of that. And then we receive Jesus Christ into our lives, and then we walk accordingly as that. And so that's the walk of repentance that we're really talking about tonight. So as I was thinking about this, the walk is kind of the life we're living. I'd like to give three definitions of the word repent or repentance. I don't know what first comes to your mind when you think about repent. Sometimes some people, what might come to their mind is that you quit sinning. That's what repentance is. You quit sinning. And while that might be true, the outcome is that you quit sinning. I'd like to say that's maybe not necessarily the meaning of repentance. I'd like to give three other ones at least that I would like to. The first one is change your mind. As you think about the word repentance or repent, when a person changes their mind. The second one is a feeling of sorrow, would also be a definition maybe of the word repent or repentance. So we have a change your mind or a feeling of sorrow. And the third one, I think, is what Paul talked about quite a bit, and that is when you turn from something to something else. So it's a change in direction. Instead of pursuing this, we are now turning from that and we're pursuing this. You know, he talked about turning from idols and pursuing God. And I think that is really what repentance is, right? It's a change of way, a change of life, change of direction that you've been going in. Now we're repenting. We see our error, we're repenting of that, we're asking God to cleanse us, and we're changing our way. We're turning from this, and we're now following this. And that's repentance. Now, I'd like to maybe just share a little bit why I kind of hesitate about saying just the simple phrase of quit sinning means that's repentance. And I'm going to just illustrate it this way a little bit. I'm just going to draw a straight line here. That's maybe not so straight, but let's see if this other one writes a little better. Now, we're just going to say that there stands for the walk of repentance. You know, the straight and narrow way. Let's think about the walk of repentance. Now, and that's where we want to find ourselves, right here, walk of repentance. Now, some people expressing in our walk of repentance, the fruit of the Spirit, we could say, that would be the walk of repentance, that we ought to be, how we ought to be living our lives. Now, some people might like to deviate off of this a little bit, off to the right a little, let's say. And this is where I would like to label, I'm just going to label this here, legalism. And then some people, they like to go off on this side, and this side over here we're going to entitle liberalism. And as we think about repentance is the center line there. And so where I would put quit sinning would probably be someone who's trying to do that on their own works. So we kind of place that over here, trying to getting off the straight realm of true repentance maybe a little bit. You know, they're just trying to stay away from adultery, or stay away from this, or stay away from that. I'm going to quit that. I just got to quit that. But and they're just trying to do it in their own strength and their own will, is what I'm saying. And isn't that kind of a little bit what legalism is? is sort of what it is. So that's and this I would kind of more label like just quit sinning. And I just can't do that. I gotta quit that. Well, you need the power of Jesus Christ in you, you know. And where does that come in? And so that's why I say I don't really know if I care for the definition of repentance about quit sinning. Now, I didn't say you can feel free to sin. No, I didn't. Not at all. Absolutely not. And the end result is that yes, you will quit sinning in a sense. Yes, sure, I agree with that. But just to say that repentance means you quit sinning, and say there's a little bit more from that. You need to turn from this to this. It's a change of direction. And you don't do that on your own. It takes the work of Jesus Christ in your heart. And that's what we want to get to a little more. And so, then the other side here in liberalism, that might be a little bit more. Those people might say, well, there's really no need to repent, you know, and change your way. We're just going to, we kind of start accepting this and this, and we kind of make up our own rule of life, and we say, well, you know, God should be pleased with us. We're just going to be good people. We're not going to really do anything. We're not going to murder or anything like that. But, you know, you might be, and that's a little bit the train of thought of liberalism sometimes. And so that's the other side of the ditch, you might say, between the two. And so tonight, as we think about a walk of repentance, we'd like to stay right on the center line there. And if we're straying on one side or the other, I think we need to come back say, you know, what does God say? What is God's direction for me? And if I'm in disobedience to that, then I need to repent and return back to God's standard and have that walk of repentance. So maybe that helps us to start our mind thinking about what the walk of repentance here that we're talking about this evening. The word repentance is used in various ways in the Bible. And I don't know the first time I think the word repent is used is maybe in Genesis chapter 6. You know, when it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth and it grieved him at his heart. So if we would say repent means quit sinning, that's what it means. Well, that wouldn't quite fit there, would it? The Lord quit sinning. We disagree with that. Think about the other three definitions we have for repentance. You know, the Lord changed his mind. The Lord felt a sorrow there. Or he turned from this to that. I think one of them, you know, would fit maybe a little more. I think it probably grieved the Lord that what man was doing. So maybe there was a feeling of sorrow actually there. What that word repent in that situation would mean there in Genesis. And if you look in the Old Testament, there's a number of cases that it talks about the Lord repenting. And we know he didn't repent because of sin, but there was probably a feeling of sorrow. Most times it would mean a little more of that definition in relation to that. And we're not going to really look at too many of them. Next, maybe if you want to turn to Ezekiel 14, it uses a word there. We're just going to look at a number of scriptures and see that these liberals that might say, oh, we don't really have to preach repentance, well, it's all over the Bible, so I think it is there to be preached and to realize our need of it in our lives. And in Ezekiel 14, would verse 6. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, repent and turn yourselves from your idols. Now here we have them people to repent and turn yourselves from idols and turn away your faces from all your abominations. So you're turning from something to something, and this in here it would seem a little bit more that's the thought of the word repent here, and it's talking about the people doing that there. Ezekiel 18 verse 30 would also, I believe, give something similar. Ezekiel 18 verse 30, therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, saith the Lord God. Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Now this is Old Testament, so the old it was maybe stating a little bit more that you turn from this and obey God. Now, in the New Testament, we know we have the power of God within us and the Holy Spirit within us to give us the power to do so, and also that we can experience the forgiveness from Him. In next verse, maybe I'll look at is in Matthew 11, verse 21, going into the New Testament here. Matthew 11, 21. The last part of the verse there says, and they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. So here it talks about people repenting. Chapter 12, verse 41. This is just a couple verses. There's a lot more verses that talk about repentance, but chapter 12, verse 41, it says, the men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here. Here we have how the people of Nineveh, they repented. And so there's a lot of cases, many illustrations through the Bible about people repenting and turning from this to that, or a feeling of sorrow in some cases, or even a change of mind would also fit in a number of cases as well. I'm going to look now yet at Acts 8. Acts 8, verse 21 and 22. It says this, Acts 8, 21, 22. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. This is about when Simon wanted to pay money for the Holy Spirit. That's the account here. And then verse 21, Peter was saying, you know, that money perish with you. In verse 20, then 21, thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Verse 22, repent therefore of thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. And so you need to have us. This one could probably carry all three of those. He needs to change his mind, he needs to have a feeling of sorrow, and he needs to turn from something that he was doing to something else and a change of direction. So maybe this one capitalizes on all three of the definitions that I gave there in relation to repent. But Peter told him here that he needs to repent. And so we see the need of repentance in a number of different cases, several different ways. Now, I'd like to just think of a little bit of a timeline that we're going to draw here. In the first, Matthew chapter 3, verse 2 is the next verse I want to look at. We're going to look at three different, I guess you could say, people that had a message and what their message was. And, of course, we're going to see the outcome is pretty much repent. The first one is John the Baptist. In Matthew 3, verse 2, or verse 1, it came, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so we're going to start right there in a little timeline here. And I'm just going to draw a timeline here. And first of all, here we have John the Baptist. John the Baptist here, just going to have this little error of time. And this was John the Baptist here. Okay, and his message was what? Well, it was repent, right? And so he was saying, I think his message and the use of the word to repent there was sort of like, you're going to need to change your mind and you're going to have to seek forgiveness for your wrong or for your idol worship that you were in. So turning... John was saying, you need to repent. You have slid back in apostasy, you're in idol worship, and you're going to need to repent of that. That seemed to be his message. We could look at Mark 1:4, would also give that. Acts 13:24, would also be another. Maybe I'm going to look at that verse there, Acts 13:24, kind of giving the same message. Acts 13:24, when John had first preached before his coming the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. And I guess that part of that verse there was, it says that it was to Israel. And so John the Baptist's message to repent was kind of focused on Israel there, that there is one mightier coming than him, and you need to repent. You're going to have to change your mind, and you're going to have to seek forgiveness from this man that is coming. Then the next little era of time, right after John, would have been Jesus. All right? So we have Jesus coming, and what did he preach? Well, we know what he preached, right? Well, the Matthew, let's see here. Yeah, we could look at, so I'll just look at the one in Matthew 4:17. Matthew 4:17, it says, "From that time, Jesus began to preach and saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" And so as we think about walking this walk of repentance, we certainly are called to that, aren't we? Because we're seeing here again, Jesus' message even was, repent. So pretty much the same message. His message was, repent and believe on me, if you want to add a little more to that word, repent. I think that was Jesus' message. You know, John was talking about one coming greater than him, repent. Jesus now is saying also, repent, and we can maybe add, believe the gospel or believe on me. And then right next to that, Jesus, we want to put his disciples. Jesus kind of gave his disciples some responsibility in this. And in Mark 6:12, we see what they were told to do. So the next little error there of time, or right after Jesus, Mark 6:12 here, it says, and Jesus told them to go out, and they went out and preached that men should repent. And so we're getting the message pretty clear, right? That repentance is an important thing. We certainly don't want to be derailing over on this side here. We're saying, wow, there's no need to repent. Just kind of do better tomorrow, do better next time, those types of things, you know, and that's where you end up over there on the liberalism then, and not really following Jesus Christ or walking the walk of repentance. And so here we have the disciples, the message given to them as well, go out and preach and to repent. Then we have next coming here, then we're going to have the cross of Christ, all right? And so we have the cross of Christ after Jesus' ministry here on earth. We know that he has been crucified and gave his life. We have the cross then. Following the cross, then I'd like to just briefly look at a verse or two in relation to, we're going to say, Peter's ministry. What was Peter's ministry primarily to, I think? I think it was to Israel, somewhat to the Jews. And if we look in Acts 2, maybe we see a little bit of this. Of course, this is right after the Holy Ghost has come, and we have Peter going to preach. And so next here, we're going to have Peter's message. And in Acts 2... primarily to the Jews, Acts 2, verse, latter part of the chapter there. verse 22, it says, "Ye men of Israel, hear the words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man of proved of God," and so it was to Israel, and he was preaching there. And then down through, Father, verse 36, "Therefore to all the house of Israel, know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus whom ye crucified, both Lord and Christ." Now, when they heard that, they were pricked at their hearts, and they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And what did Peter tell them? Peter said, this is Peter's message to them, those who just crucified the Lord. And he said, "That's what you just did." And they were pricked in their hearts. And they said, "Men and brethren, what are we going to do?" And Peter said, "This is what you need to do. Repent." There he had. And so he said, his message was primarily to the Jews there, it seems, and at least right here. And he says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." And so Peter's ministry was primarily to the Jews, to Israel there. And he was saying, look, you need to repent. You need to have a feeling of sorrow. You need to change your mind. You have just crucified the Lord Jesus, the King of Glory. And it seemed like at least some of them must have realized that, and they were pricked in their hearts and said, "Now what are we going to do?" Peter said, "Well, this is what you need to do. You need to repent. You need to be sorry for what you did, and you're going to need to change your mind, and you need to turn from that, seek forgiveness from God, and receive the Holy Ghost that he has given to those who receive Christ." Because obviously they rejected Christ, they just had him crucified. And so we see that was Peter's message here, I think, was primarily that to the Jews. Now, the next person we want to look at, and maybe is Paul's ministry. And that is kind of, this is a time of era where we're living in. I don't know where we're at in this timeline here. This is a much greater time span than this here is, so this ain't in proportion at all. Paul was giving the gospel message of Jesus Christ, and he was giving it primarily to who? Well, the Gentiles, right? That's what he was commissioned to do. And so the message of Paul was to the Gentiles. And so what was that message? We could look at some more in Acts, maybe. Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, verse 20, 21, there he was talking to the Ephesian elders, the elders at Ephesus, I believe, and he said, verse 20, "How I kept back nothing that was profitable for you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks." So it wasn't only to the Gentiles, but, you know, he was the one commissioned for the Gentiles. We'll see that a little more here. But this is what he said, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, again, his message was repentance toward God, but it was also about faith in this right here, in the cross of Jesus Christ, is what his message was. And so we're talking about the walk of repentance that we're to be walking in. That message is for us right here today. It's repentance toward God and accepting the cross of Jesus Christ. And that's what his message was, and his message is the same for us today, right here. Even though this here was spoken a number of years ago. We're just down the timeline a little further. But the same message is there. we could look at various scriptures. We probably won't turn to 1 Thessalonians 1, 9 and 10. We'll talk about that, his message to the Gentiles. Acts 14, 15. Since I'm in Acts, maybe I'll just flip back to that. Acts 14, 15. He said, "And saying, Sirs, why do you these things? We also are men of like passion with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth, and sea and all that is therein." So he was basically saying, you need to repent. You need to turn from these vanities unto God. So you turn from this unto God. So it's a change of direction, change of way. And so now we are walking the walk of repentance, with Christ, because we have accepted the cross of Jesus Christ. And if we stray from that, we need to come back to that. And who of us have not made a mistake since we gave our lives to Christ? Well, we have. And so this thought of repentance is something that we need to come back to again, and need to come back to God and ask for repentance and change. But as we think about the definition of repentance, I think that's the primary one of Paul's message many, many times, is you need to turn from this and turn to that, a change of direction. And isn't that so true for us today? We probably all know what that means as we think about repentance. We've yielded to that temptation and we turn, accepted our lust. We need to repent of that. Means we need to go back to the cross of Jesus Christ, and we need to turn from that and turn unto God. And so we're not doing that in our own strength or works, but we're turning to Jesus Christ. And that's what puts us back on the walk of repentance and living a life of bearing fruits of repentance. Let's maybe look now at Acts 26. And this is where it brings out a little more about Paul to the Gentiles. Acts 26. A couple different verses here. Verse 20 would talk about that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. And that was to the Gentiles. And let's maybe look at verse 16, 17, 18 there. But arise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, from whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive the forgiveness of sin and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. And so you see what Paul's message was to go, is to go out and preach repentance to the Gentiles. Well, you see what it was? You turn from darkness to light. And I'm not going to take the time to write all this, but it seems like Paul's message was, you know, turning from idols to God, or you turn from darkness to light. And we can go down and list a lot of things that we should be turning from to, that the scripture will talk about. Unbelief to belief, from being lost to being saved, from our own righteousness to the righteousness in Christ, of Christ, in the complete work of Calvary's cross, you know, not in our own works. We don't trust in our own selves, but we trust in the finished work of, on the cross, of what Jesus did for us. And we could list a number of things there. And so as we think about the walk of repentance, it's turning from something to something else. It's a change in direction. Okay. One of the things as we think about the walk of repentance, like I said, there are times that we may fail. And remember, the message is to accept Jesus Christ and turn from that unto God. And so it is, this walk of repentance is kind of maybe rooted, whether we can place it down there, and faith in Jesus Christ is where it needs to be. Otherwise, we're going to be going off to the right or off to the left, probably. We need to understand that we're saved by grace, not by works at all. So we have nothing to boast of. And so we always need to remember that. It's faith in Jesus Christ. I'm going to look at some verses in Titus chapter 3 that kind of brings that out. Titus Titus chapter 3, 5 through 8. It says this, and this is, back me back to that thought about not just saying repentance is quit sinning, but here it says this, Titus 3, verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done. And so we need to accept Jesus Christ. But according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he has shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by his grace, which we're living in the era of grace now, could write that over the era of Paul there in his message, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God or in Jesus Christ might be careful to maintain good works, and good fruits. Those things are good and profitable unto men. And so we are called to not live in sin, in a sense, quit sinning. Yes, that is true. But I think, how do we get to that point is something we don't want to detour, and that is faith in Jesus Christ and his in the washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost is what we need within us. And when we have that, then I believe we are walking the walk of repentance, and we will have the fruit of the Spirit, because the Spirit will be in us. And that's what we're called to, the life we're called to. Romans 10 and 9 would say that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And so, we have a part to recognize that we are sinners, or we have sinned, and we need to repent. So we need to turn from that and turn to this. But in order to do that, we turn to Jesus Christ and his cross. And we accept him and we ask him for forgiveness. And he then gives us the power to turn and live a godly life and walk that walk of repentance. There was there's a story told of someone that was giving a ministry work in prison, preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. And there was a prisoner that responded, and he came front, and I don't think he was the only one, probably several others. And he came front, and he seemed to be broken, and message maybe spoke to him is what it seemed at, and I think it did. I know it did. And he came front, and so they were going to have prayer, and they started having prayer, and this man was part of the Islamic religion, and the prisoners knew that, but the man that was giving the message of Jesus Christ didn't know that. So anyhow, he responded, came front, and he wanted to pray, and so he started praying, and then some of his co-prison mates said, "Hey, stop him right in the middle of the prayer." And they said, "If you are broken and if you want a changed life, you need to accept Jesus Christ in the cross, and he is the Son of God." And he was silent for a while. And finally, he confessed Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And that's what made the difference then in his life. And his inmates knew that until he does that, he's not going to find repentance, is what it came down to. And he had, the story would go that he had some co-inmates that were unhappy with him for leaving their religion and accepting Jesus Christ. But that's where the key was. He couldn't walk the walk of repentance until he did that. And when he was willing to do that, then he could change direction. And he could be forgiven, and he could experience freedom in his life, true freedom. And so we realize that all have sinned, and we come short of the glory of God, and we do certainly need repentance in our lives. Maybe I'm going to look at Ephesians chapter 3. As we go from here in this walk of repentance, Ephesians 3, verse 17 says, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God, unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. The poor thought here is that Christ may dwell in our hearts. And that's when we can really find a changed life, when Christ is dwelling in our hearts. And so the important key of tonight is right here. While there is repentance preached here, we're living here, this side of the cross of Christ, and the gospel message that Paul has given to the Gentiles. And that is, put your faith in Jesus Christ. And the cross of Christ makes the difference. So, like these verses said here, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. You know, that man in prison, until he was ready to acknowledge Jesus Christ by faith as the only begotten Son of God, and realizes he is a sinner in need of repentance that God can give him. That's what made the difference. And so it does, likewise, in our lives as well. So rooted and grounded by faith in Jesus Christ is where we want to be. And that's the walk of repentance. And I think we'll be able to stay in the center line. And maybe we can get rid of anything on the side here. Because we're living by faith in Jesus Christ, Christ in our hearts. And so we're living, walking the walk of repentance, we could say, and a straight and narrow way. 2 Peter 3:9, it's a verse I'd like to touch on yet. Peter 3:9 says this: the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So his will is that we would be right here, and we talked a little, how do we get here? It's accepting the cross of Christ right there, accepting Christ into our hearts, into our lives by faith. And then we can walk the walk of repentance. That's his will for us, that we would not perish and go off either side there that we talked about a little bit, but that we would walk the walk of repentance. I'm just going to let one verse, this is an Old Testament verse with us yet, and that is in 2 Chronicles 7:14, Solomon there in the temple. And 2 Chronicles 7:14 maybe gives a lot of this in a nutshell, in some sense at least. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says this: if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, we think about the walk of repentance, humble themselves and pray and seek my face, seek the face of God, and in doing all of that, we turn from our wicked way, and then he said, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. And then you'll be walking the walk of repentance. But you see, we certainly have a part to do in that. God has as we acknowledge God, we humble and pray, seek the face of God, and we are willing to turn from our wickedness. God will hear our prayers. He will answer them. And he will heal us and forgive us, and we can walk the walk of repentance and be ready for his return, which I don't know where that fits here, but I don't know where we're at the timeline here, not this timeline that much, but probably getting pretty close to the rapture, maybe, and the Lord coming back anyhow. So whenever that is, we want to be ready. So let's maintain a walk of repentance that would be honorable to him. And so hopefully this evening, this could stir our minds a little bit about what repentance is, how do we get to the walk of repentance? We didn't talk a lot about necessarily the walk part. You know, you could go into all the everyday activities of our lives and the decisions we need to make and the wisdom we need. But I think if we're seeking God, like it said in Chronicles there, and if we're praying and we're walking humbly with him and listening to the direction of the Holy Spirit, then a lot of those decisions will be made according to the wisdom we get from him. And you can maintain your walk of repentance. And so let's continue to serve the Lord with gladness and faithfulness. Let's kneel for prayer, maybe.